Hey, this is Ryan.
Hey, this is Wayne.
And this is Kill the Rabbit Podcast.
Number
20 million.
737.
It's been a lot. We haven't done a podcast in 2 weeks, I think. 3 weeks, maybe. So I was traveling, went to a wedding, then some other thing, and then I got sick. I think three. And this is the third week, so then we've missed two. So it's been going well.
It?
My life.
Your life. Okay. Got to define
yes.
That.
I've been, work's been going well.
You're still employed. That's good.
Still employed. Project's going well. I've successfully dug my talons into every part of the project and every department that I can. So now I'm getting constantly asked questions or to change things and do things to be non-expendable is my goal, and I've succeeded. So much so that now we're hiring two other people. I think they're lateral transfers internally in the company. I don't know that they're in a language that will help me. I'm not sure.
So what? Okay, so you said your boss was helping you out by hiring people, but you don't know necessarily what the criteria.
No. I know that they are developers. I know that I don't know where they come from. It is strange that you would hire someone for me and not have me interview them, and then you interview them, but you're not a technical person.
That is kind of odd, unless he's hired them to not help you, but to spy on you.
Yeah, or be my boss, which is what I'm more used to. So be like, now I have two new bosses. So, so by deductive reasoning, I train them because I am the only one that knows how to do everything that I do. And I did that sneakily. On purpose.
Okay.
I purposefully did that so that everything has to go through me. So I wrote it all. I documented it all. I know how everything works on it. So every single meeting I have to be involved in, even this other team of Microsoft engineers, I'm having to meet with them and discuss various things. They're like, oh my gosh, how do we do this? Because I wrote it all. So, I mean, I don't know. A little life lesson. You always feel that, well, I don't want to offer too much help, otherwise it'll monopolize all my time. That sometimes doesn't happen. I mean, if you play your cards right, you can do what I've done, right? You create this, it's not a facade, but you just kind of like, you help out, you're helping yourself. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're coming off as being, let me help you.
But you're really helping yourself.
I'm really helping myself. Yes. Yeah. And I'm really getting deep inside of everything. And so now, it's really funny because we have this one guy offer some library or suggest a library that we use to connect to databases. So it's like 2 weeks of just like, man, this works, but that doesn't work. I need it all to work because this is how we run all of our important things. Oh, well, and then people are gone on vacation. So finally, I just did it myself. So I just told them yesterday, I'm just going to do it myself. And I did it this morning, and it worked. So I was like, why are we doodling around with people like this? That it's not that you're not smart and you're not talented, but you have to contribute something that is a release. Remember how I was talking about releases for the realm?
Right.
Not pieces. I feel that I am from that tribe of people
the release tribe.
No. Not the release tribe. Oh. That is the anti. Okay. That goes against everything that is inside me.
Okay.
I build little pieces of things all over the place.
The peace tribe.
Yeah, the peace.
But it's spelled P-I-E-C.
It's like the land of broken toys. That's the tribe that I come from. None of it works. But in your mind, through suspended disbelief, all of these things come together and are beautifully orchestrated. But none of that ever comes to see the light of day. That's why on Realm, I said, forget all this nonsense. Like I said, I have almost 500 to-do items. I'm not exaggerating. That's how often my brain pings me and says, do this for the Realm. Do this service for the Realm. Here's an idea for the realm. I write it all down, right, so I don't lose anything. But what you end up having is just like this tons of stuff, but you haven't done anything. So when I said, okay, forget all that noise, I'm going to only focus on releases so that I have something that's end-to-end that works. That if I gave it to you, it would do what it is purposed, what I've created it to do. Nothing else, nothing more, but I can build on that as a foundation going into the future. So these are the engineers that I work with. These are the problems that I'm having, where I'm just like, listen, I don't care how cool this is. It doesn't work 100% of the time. The response is, you're concentrating on the edge cases. I'm like, I'm concentrating on every case because it has to work hands down every single time. We can't just fly by the seat of our pants. So that's what I'm learning to apply in my job.
So you're going to indoctrinate these people into your philosophy so that they understand.
My new people?
Yeah.
Okay. There's two of them. I met one. I have no idea about their competency level. I have no idea about their teachability. The one I met is very quiet. It's a good or a bad thing. Because I've become more jaded, I'll ease more towards a bad thing. So you kind of have to, like, put them in a little box and then only have them do the little things in their box and anything else.
You're getting more and more negative. And so when you look at quiet before might have been, oh, there's possibilities. But now quiet to you is dark.
Quiet to me is like, I'm listening to you, but I'm not really going to do it. Or I don't really have any kind of vested interest. That's one thing I had to get over a lot in the last couple jobs that I've had. No one is probably going to have more of a vested interest than you if it's something that you're passionate about. They don't care. They're just trying to put their code in, go home. They're not like wondering. Like right now I'm running tests, right? I'm running tests in Ohio. Why? I'm not even getting paid for it. It's just because for me, getting paid is a byproduct. Getting paid is something that I have to live and buy things that I like, but it's not like a focus of mine. So like I have to concentrate on not working more than 40 hours.
And actually that's actually a good vice to have, because so many people are strictly in the confines of the 8-hour day.
Mm-hmm.
And in a lot of cases, they turn it off and they don't realize that they're actually hurting themselves in the long run in the job.
Right.
Because the job, you know, we're not saying that you should, you know, work more than 8 hours a day. What we are saying is, you know, sometimes problems don't get conveniently solved mm-hmm. in an 8-hour period at mm-hmm. work. And to shut it off, many times you end up starting over again after a cup of coffee in the morning the next day. When you'd hung with it a little longer, you could have maybe made some progress.
Well, and that's why I'll do a morning meeting, and then I don't go to work for like 3 hours, because I'll do the morning meeting as I talk about things that I'm going to work on, and I just start working on them a little bit, and then I can't, because as soon as I get to the office, I have a barrage of questions. So I'd rather take the time that I can to actually have time to do stuff instead of answering questions and going to meetings and yada yada. So all that's been going good. The Realm, I'm still on it. Now I've converted to Sanic, which is the library that's super fast. I'm still porting all the code over. I didn't realize how much code I actually wrote, so that's kind of an undertaking. I just know that if I don't do it now, I'm never going to do it. Wow, what was that? Is that a notification? So I'm doing it now so that I don't have to do it later, because later it's going to be way harder.
Right.
So that's going well, and I'm focusing on the release, and now we were talking about this before, I only do interviews of places that I would consider. I do interviews all the time just for practice, but now I tend to... If I do an interview for some place that I don't really care about, it affects the quality of interview that I give. Or not that as much as how much I get down on myself for not doing well. Because you're like, you don't really care, it doesn't matter. So it robs me of a teachable moment. So this last one I did was for a finance firm out in New York. Double my salary. So I said, that's something that I would probably consider. Did the interview. Well, heard about the interview, said no, then said, okay, maybe. Because they did one of these stupid whiteboard tests, right? A whiteboard test is, no matter how it starts, it always boils down into an efficiency of what's called Big O notation. Big O notation is how efficient is your algorithm. If I have to cycle over a list of something once, that's n. If it's a list of a list, n squared. Those things, right? It's very abstract. The point is that, oh, well, we want to make this algorithm more efficient. And they want to see how your brain works, right? And how you look at these things. From my world, I haven't had to concentrate that much on the efficiency of algorithms. It's still important to me, but it's not something that it's like, oh man, I need to stop everything and make it more efficient. This is the land of broken toys mentality of these engineers that I'm working with now, that they're leaving in days and things aren't done, which is a huge problem, but they're efficient. So they're broken and efficient. So what does that do for me? That does absolutely nothing. That's why it makes me so angry when people do these dumb whiteboard tests. They're either impossible and have nothing to do with the job, or they're concentrated on efficiency. I'm sorry, but I've been programming for 20 years. What I bring to the table is heavy, right? Mm-hmm. I don't stay employed at the caliber of places that I work at and be dumb or not good at what I'm doing.
Right.
Now, maybe my algorithm isn't like an n log n efficiency, right? But I guarantee your dude that's writing like O n log n or the perfect efficiency algorithms can't talk to Suzy Q in HR, right? He's right. Difficult to deal with, if not impossible. So that's what makes me very angry about people that do these dumb tests. That's why I said, I'm not doing it. So the dude was nice. I said, okay, whatever. I get on the phone. I do great for the first part. And here comes the Big O notation. And I totally tank on it because I'm just like, I don't know, man. It works. That's what I'm doing. Yes, efficiency is important, but teach me. So it is a teachable moment now to go back in and do heavy into efficiency on algorithms, which I've done in pieces. I probably didn't know that I was doing it, if that makes sense.
Right.
So it really, really, really pissed me off. And they said, sorry, we're not going to be able to do that. And I responded and said, well, I'm sorry, that's unfortunate, because I have thousands of lines of code in dozens of repositories that I have online that you could look at. But I'm, you know, of course, you and your infinite knowledge chose to pick me based on your stupid efficiency algorithms. So now it is furthermore a testament of why I don't work cover companies like that. Bank of America did the same thing. So now that I see companies, if you do a whiteboard test, I'm out. I gave it a shot because it was double my salary. That's the only reason I did it. And it is a teaching moment because it really pissed me off because someone didn't pick you, right? And that hurts you because you're just like, oh, maybe it's because I'm not classically educated. I didn't come from MIT or Harvard. And that's where these guys are from. So they're like on it. So do I have potential to learn that? Yes. But efficiency algorithms, you can teach someone, right? Mm-hmm. Teachability, I cannot.
Right.
Or willingness to learn something, I cannot. So, like, the dude was just like, well, could you do this better? I'm like, yeah, I guess. I mean, let's talk it through. Like, I already know you're not going to hire me because you're going to write down that, oh, I couldn't do it. I was like, couldn't do it? Or you didn't walk it through? You know, yeah, it's something. And I said, I'm not really great at efficiency algorithms, right? But let's look at the million other things that I am good at doing. Right? You're taking a very... You're tunnel visioned into this single thing of criteria, which is very Ivy League, and I just have serious problems with it. And that's why I realized, you know what, Ryan? Even if I would have passed, it would have made it even harder because I would have had to say no. So even before I went on the interview, I emailed the agent, was like, I'm retracting. I don't even care if they say yes, I passed, because I can't work for someone like this. Like, it's just, it goes against everything that's inside me as a developer and as a creative person.
Right.
But I don't know. But like I said, it did hurt my feelings. Not hurt your feelings. You feel down because you're like, man, I mean, well, I thought it was awesome.
But I think whenever we submit ourselves to some kind of a test, it's like the challenge. And if you go at it like you should, you go at it whole hog and if you fail at it, there's a certain amount of, you know, letdown at not being able to do it. And then if on top of that, if you put some type of, you know, thing on, you know, giving them some credit for coming up with this valid test. I mean, look at what we do in the schools with some of the scholastic tests that we give kids. And does that really measure everything that we want to measure?
That's exactly why I didn't study for the SAT before I took it, and I didn't do as well as after I studied for it. I want to know, like, what do I really know? Right. Like, that is what matters to me. Not, could I study efficiency algorithms? I'm doing it now, right? I'm doing it now. So the next big annotation test that I take in Python, I'm going to just murder it. But then I'm going to say no. Because I don't work with companies like that. But I think it's a skill that I need to acquire as a software engineer, right?
For your own sake.
For my own sake. And it makes me a better engineer. I understand that. And I'm with you on that. But what I'm saying is evaluating a candidate based on two or three questions is very short-sighted. And the email that I sent to HR was really hilarious because they were like, sorry. And I was like, okay, well, sorry. And good luck with finding a Python engineer with AWS background because they don't exist. Period. Anywhere. Ever. So you're not going to find it.
Yeah.
So it's to me, it's frustrating. To me, it tells me that it's time to do your own thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're done. Like, when you're arguing with HR and upper level executives about you getting a job, and even if they turned around and said, oh, we'll offer you the job, and then you're just going to say no on principle, you know that you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. Like you're fighting about stupid things that no one is fighting about.
Yeah. Interesting.
But how's the writing?
The writing is non-existent at the moment. I'm just going to be really flat-out honest about it. I haven't, you know, we've all had a number of things. Like you said, there was the wedding, and mm-hmm. there was all kinds of things going on. And once again, I would just say a yellow flag always goes up when I say that, you know, start making excuses. Are you making excuses? And I think we have to be honest with ourselves. If we're making excuses, well, first of all, ask yourself, okay, you didn't get something done because of this. Could you have done it some other way?
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm trying to be more honest with myself. And there are days when I'm not sure I'm going to be able to pull this off. And just being flat honest about it. I think that's, in a weird way, kind of encouraging, because when I read about other people or hear about other people who are really struggling
mm-hmm.
to try to come up with something, I realize that maybe I've looked at things in the past as, if it's not a certain level of ease at achieving the goal, that I'm not going to do it. Well, then mm-hmm. what is it worth?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think continue to raise the bar of effort on your part, which is what I'm really striving to do. Now, I have some things on my plate right now that just honestly are eating up my time. And mm-hmm. so for me to sit down and spend some time writing, I'm having to make some decisions about some things that need to get done, but I'm going to set them aside. And that's been really hard.
Do you think it's... So in the morning, I have on my list to do a little bit of it before my meeting. I constantly find myself thinking, I can't, because it's just not, I'm not working at it enough time. Like, I feel like, sometimes I feel like there's a denomination of time that has to occur for me to feel like I did anything, even if it's like just 15 minutes. Like, to me, that seems like if it's 30 minutes, it's worthless. Like, does it happen for you like that?
I'll make another confession. I make confessions periodically here. I got to a certain point in my life when I realized, somebody asked me, well, what do you really want to do? You know, you get that mm-hmm. that ancient question of, what do you really want to do, you know, with your life, whether it's work or what is your passion and all that kind of stuff. And I've written off a number of different things, and having lived a little longer than you have, one of the aha moments was when I looked back and I realized how many things that I had written off and said, well, that's just not me, that's just not me, that's just not me. And I realized that, well, wait a minute, was that really not you, or did you just quit when things got too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And in many cases, I can't say of all, but in a lot of cases, that was the case. I quit because it got too hard. And you never want to say that to yourself at the time, because that would be, you know, self-deprecating.
Mm-hmm.
And beat up yourself over that, because you want to feel good about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes there's a moment where you have to be totally honest with yourself and just say, well, maybe you're not being realistic about the price you're going to have to pay in mm-hmm. order to do this. I mean, so you want to be a writer, so look behind the scenes at some people in their lives who've written. Now, if you're thinking that these people just kind of woke up one day and, you know, wrote the best-selling novel, that didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
People had to put in time, effort, persevere, disappointment. How many times you hear about somebody trying to sell a book and they got turned down time after time after time, but they kept at it? And I guess what I came to realize is that I've just been low on not pushing myself at certain things. Now, like right now at work, I'm getting ready to take a test so that I can take it to the next level, and it's really eating my lunch.
When is it, June?
In a couple of weeks, and so
the same one from last year.
Yeah, the same one I flunked twice, and so I had to ask myself, okay, and I guess this is a good case in point of, you know, quitting too soon. There was a time in my life when I would have quit after the first failure. Well, I guess that's not
mm-hmm.
for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember your sister said, "Well, you're not gonna try again. You're gonna try again, aren't you?" And I sat there and I thought about it and I thought, "Well, yeah, I really should, you know." And so here I'm on the third try, which is totally out of character for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm usually okay. I'm not going there. I'm not
twice as rough.
And it's tough on your self-image and all that kind
yeah.
of stuff. But I go back to this whole idea of, hey, are you being realistic about life?
Mm-hmm.
Are you really doing your very best? And so I'm constantly confronted with that. Are you doing your best? How are you taking criticism? I didn't always take criticism well, okay? I struggled with it. It was always, when I was younger, I had a hard time taking criticism. And even as I got, you know, became an adult and all that, it was hard for me to take criticism. Oh, you know, that guy's crazy, you know. You get fired from a job. Well, they didn't, you know. Well, maybe they were right.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you were lazy. Maybe you were whatever.
Well, because it's a balance between evaluating how truthful the statement is and how you should apply it and other things that you should disregard.
Right. And so at whatever stage you are in life, and again, of course, I'm at a later stage in life, there's still things to be learned
mm-hmm.
and about yourself. The race is still only between me and me.
Yes.
And I have to keep reminding myself of that and not quit. And I'm tempted to quit. I'll just be honest about it. I'm tempted to quit, but there's something inside of me that is pushing me out into the light, so to speak, to where the truth really is. Well, the truth really is, maybe you need to put your nose to the grindstone a little longer, a little harder. Push yourself a little further. And because I don't have a real strong track record with that, and I'm not very proud of that, I know that I need to push myself a little harder. It does need to be something that I really think is worthwhile. That's true. But I feel like I need to, first of all, what we're doing right now, I'm being honest with you.
Yeah.
This is me. And
well, no, and I haven't done anything in the realm, and it's a couple, in a week or two.
Well, and I've said this to you before. I admire you. You're my son, yes. I'm not just trying to pat you on the back because you're my son. But I watch the way you work at things. And when you would do things like, you didn't know how you were going to fix a particular programming problem. You had no idea. And yet you were willing to ask for help, willing to admit that you didn't know what you were doing. And you were humble about taking criticism. And I thought, well, okay, I'm not sure you're my son. You know, yeah, because that hasn't been me. I would have had a hard time with that. So I admire that. I want to learn from that. And so I'm in a situation even now in my job where I'm, you know, learning from people. And it's all because I've begun to realize that, you know, you have to humble yourself.
Yeah.
Say that you don't know. Strive to learn. Don't get caught up in the criticism and allow it to affect you, mm-hmm. so that you shut down.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's hard to, for one, like you said about your past, right? So it's hard to, like, it's easy to bring my past into making that as an excuse for future failings. Mm-hmm. Oh, I always do that. So, like, there was a guy, I forgot what his name was, but he would give it relationship advice. Or, no, scratch that. I was talking to a person, and they said, you know, it's like we were with a girlfriend for 5 years. You're like, well, I've already invested this 5 years in this relationship, but it's become a horrible relationship. Like, don't let the time you spent doing something justify staying in a bad situation. So, getting to the point, so I taught myself through high school. I attribute a lot of how I view problem solving that way. Like, I was on my own. So, right, if I don't know how to do calculus one, I am the reason for the failure. So I had to do it until I was able to teach myself. This is before the internet. I could not Google these things. I had to go and research them in books. So that type of mentality of failure is not an option based on survival puts me in that arena where I approach problems like that. Like, I was meeting with the Microsoft guys today, and they were like, wow, this is so odd. You're doing a good job. Like, they're kind of like, wow, how is he doing all these things? For me, I love what I do, number one, first and foremost. That if you don't love what you do, you're not going to be there during the hard times.
Right.
And you like solving problems. There are aspects of your job that you really enjoy. That is a huge driving factor in being able to put yourself in that uncomfortable position. So when I approach problems now, failure is not even on the table. Like, me and my wife, divorce isn't even on the table, right? Work it out. You can fight, you can cry, and do whatever you want to, but that's not an option that we're going to entertain. So, like, I feel that a lot of the times that people that will just quit, it's kind of on the table. I'll try, but I'm not. And I had to stop writing that in my to-do list. In to-dos, I would say, try and see da 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 da. Try and work on your diet. Try, and so now I've struck try, and either you're going to do it or you're not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's what my wife is. She's very direct. She's very black and white. Are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? If you're not going to do it,
take it off.
Then stop wasting my time and telling me these things. So that's been hard for me, and that's what, you know, when I approach these issues or I approach these problems or I look at myself with the realm, it becomes, like you said, you have to kind of change your definition of failure and success. Failure, you equate failure with I fall down, I never get up, and that's it.
Right.
I equate success with I never have to do anything or face problems again. Neither of these perspectives are correct. Your life will always continue to be a struggle if you so choose to see it in that light. But life is always changing. Things are always moving. And you complain when things aren't fast enough. I complain when I'm 13, I'm not 16 because I want to learn to drive. Now I complain that I'm 33 and life seems to whiz me by. It's all perspective.
Yeah, and I appreciate that. I think sometimes too, like in my situation, I'm looking at taking this test to get some certification. But I also need to take a hard look at down the road at what the possibilities are after this, and do I want to do that?
Yes.
Because you're making a sacrifice, and I find myself sometimes saying, "Well, yeah, but I'll get a I'll get a bump in pay." So, Are you going to enjoy what you're doing? Do you think you can excel at it? Is it something you really want to do? Like you're saying, if you don't really enjoy what you're doing, how long do you want to do that until you find a way to stop the bleeding? You know, so I think one of the things that I've come to the conclusion of quickly here is that I've had to reassess where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
And even though I've already paid for this test, I'm going to take the test. But in the meantime, I need to...
And you should do your best.
I should do my best. But in the meantime, I really need to kind of assess, okay, so what are the possibilities from here? Because mm-hmm. Some of it has to come down to a dollar amount, because I have to make a little more money than what I'm making right now.
Well, and what you just said was profound. How often do you ask yourself, for myself too, what do I want? Like, forget all the people, forget your boss, forget your wife, forget everything. What do I want? Right. And like, that's when I was looking at this job, and I was like, it's double your salary. What do you want, though? You know in your gut you don't like it. So don't waste your time. And that's the impetus of your life. Like, I feel that so many of us, after college or university, you just stop thinking about that. Like, when's the last time, I mean, in all honesty, when's the last time you asked yourself, what do I want? Not external, not like, I want to write a book, I want to do that. Like, for me, like, what do I want for my life? Yeah. I think that's such a profound statement that I find myself not asking that as often as I should.
It gets kind of scary. I heard somebody put it one time. He said he was having trouble making a change in his life, this friend of mine. And I could just as easily say this was me, because I kind of felt similar to him. He said, you know, there's this door in my life, and it's like there's smoke and fire underneath the door, and I'm scared to death that if I open it, that I'll be devoured.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's called fear.
Mm-hmm.
That's the fear that you have that I know I should open that door and take that risk, but I'm scared. And
I was watching America's Next Top Model with my wife. And one of the famous theologians that was on there, not theologians, the philosopher known as, what was her name? Casey, Sarah, I forgot. She said, I'm okay with it. She was sent home, right? She said, I'm okay with this. I don't regret it, because regrets are mistakes that you don't learn from. And I was like, wow, like that'll change your life.
Yeah.
Like you look at the, you know, how many regrets do you have in your life? How many do I have in my life? Like I said, that definition of what's failure and what's success, like even the name of this podcast, Kill the Rabbit, is it really Kill the Rabbit, or is it just our fascination with thinking about what you think you need to do, right? Instead of just, you're just living life, and that's just how life is going.
Well, and I think myself included in what I'm about to say, I think it's easy to get into the rut of thinking, I don't have any other choices.
Mm-hmm.
You don't maybe verbalize it, but you live your life like, well, I have to go to this job, or I mm-hmm. have to do this thing, and you never stop and ask yourself, Is this the only option I have? Is it,
yes.
Is it possible that there may be something else that I might really get excited about? Because, you know, quite frankly, every once in a while something comes across your, you know, your attention
mm-hmm.
that you get really excited about, and you never play that out. You never really stop to think, well, what if I were to pursue that?
Well, and we don't like wavering possibilities in our life. We tend to cling to permanent things, right? Like,
yeah.
Permanently, you were paying for us as kids when we were in the house. In your mind, it's a permanent expense. Now, we're all gone. So, it was never permanent. Like, nothing about your life is permanent. And yet, we try to fashion everything, thought, concept, idea, location in life as permanent. I'm permanently at this job. When I worked as a consultant, I can't quit. I need to make money. And you even told me, there are other jobs that will pay you money. Like, you get stuck because you think, oh, this is the only, like you said, I have no other options.
And I think what we do, in like my case, I'm at retirement age. A lot of my friends and a lot of people I know have retired by now. And there's always, at any stage of your life, there's always a host of things that you can throw up as excuses as to why you don't do something other than what you're doing. And for me right now, I hear from people that are in my age category, it says, well, I'm just going to hang in there until I put in my 20 or whatever it is, and then I'm going to retire. And it's like, Lord, yeah, they're walking death, you
mm-hmm.
know. They
mm-hmm.
hate their job. They're unpleasant. they're just putting up with it until they can finally retire. And I'm mm-hmm. thinking, so what's going to change about your life once you leave the company? Are you really going to be that much happier, or are you just going to have this aha moment where, oh, I'm not going there anymore, but I'm still unhappy? Why is that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because like you say, everything is always changing. Nothing stays permanent. It is something that is... So I have to look at my life at this point as, hey, let's reevaluate the direction that we're going here, and let's make sure that the time and effort and energy that we're putting into it, you really believe in.
Yeah.
Because if you stop believing in it, you're not going to, like you said, that interview with this company that you weren't all excited about it, you weren't really throwing yourself into it 100% because there was something about it that you just mm-hmm. wasn't exciting you,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Well, and, you know, I think week after week we talk about how we didn't do this and how we're going to try to do this. And so, I mean, I guess it's just, yes, kill the rabbit is important, right? Like, you want to not procrastinate because it's what I'm naturally inclined to do. I'm naturally inclined to shiny things, I go and do that, right? Like the squirrel mentality. Maybe it's just, this is life as it happens. You're just checking in on the journey that you're going down. Will I ever complete Realm? I don't know. And that's kind of the mystery of it. Like, will yeah. I ever... I'm going to try. I'm going to put my effort towards it. But it's, you know, it shouldn't, like, destroy you if your life changes direction. Because maybe the change in direction is actually good.
Well, and I think what we're doing in the podcast, and this is why, even though there are nights, and this was one of those nights when I wasn't really ready for it just because I didn't have a lot to share,
mm-hmm.
you know. But at the same time, it's kept it on the front burner for me. You remember mm-hmm. some time ago I shared with you, I said, you know, there's been a number of things I've started in my life, and then all of a sudden, it's like it went off the radar, and then 6 months later, I'm thinking, you know, I started that. When was it that I started that? Oh, yep. My gosh, that was 6 months ago. And there was this little game that you'd played with your mind that allowed you to take that little rabbit trail,
mm-hmm.
and you just never returned. But in order for you to sleep at night, you had to find a way to dull that sensory
yeah.
part of your brain so you didn't think about the fact that you did start something. You did intend to finish it, didn't you?
Well, and I think a lot of that is stemming from, like, you don't like confines, right? You don't like staying within the parameters. But those are the things and the tools that are actually going to help you accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. Like, every day we go to work, right? It's a no-brainer. It's not like, well, I tried to go to work, but I just couldn't. Like, you make it a priority and you make it work. You work even though you're not really working at times, but that's something that you dedicate yourself to do. And that's why, you know, maybe the 30 minutes, maybe the 20 minute, like, for me, it's just a desperation of, like, I have to make this work. Like, this has to fit somewhere. Whether if I have to push something else out, otherwise it drives you crazy and you just need to kick it to the curb.
When I, again, going back to the helpfulness of this podcast is, I can't feel good about making excuses. I because even as I would say them, they sound bad to mm-hmm. me. And so I have to stop and think, okay, what is actually happening? I know for me, all of us, for you too, I guess, what is it that ultimately forces us to make a change that we need to make? Well, it's, think of it in terms of temperature. You know, for some people, it, you know, a few degrees of heat and they're ready to jump. For others, 25, 30 degree jump in heat, that's what it took to get them to move. I think it's just, whether it's because of deeply ingrained patterns of behavior for me or my age or whatever, it's taken me a little longer. So I look at that as 25 to 30 degrees of heat.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm frankly, you know, I feel like I'm ready more so than I have ever been in my entire life
mm-hmm.
to make some changes that I just wasn't able to make in years gone by. So, if that's what it takes.
Well, I mean, the journey to yourself is long.
It is long. It is long. It is hard. And I will say this, best not traveled alone, because we can be our own jailer and executioner, you know, if we're just doing it on our own. We just beat ourselves up at times, or we excuse ourselves, either one extreme or the other. And either way, it's bad, and it's good to go on a journey with someone else, and that'll help you to be honest.
So then I guess for next week, to kind of get out of the bad habit of I failed, I'm going to try. It's more...
No more trying.
No more trying. Just quit.
Okay.
We'll see what happens. I think the podcast is something that is like an exam that comes every week. You're like, oh no, I know it's coming. So you're going to like mad dash on Tuesday through Wednesday. Maybe that's it. Maybe you want to be able to share something. I know that that's for myself as well. So maybe it's just, you know, we'll see you next week and see what happens. I mean, in all honesty, because otherwise it just sounds like a constant, like you're complaining about things that aren't, that are just normal, you know?
Right.
So like, well, I failed again. And like, no one wants to hear that, because then if you're failing on writing a book, then what's the person that has something that's not even that, that highly, not esteemed, but like that high of a goal, you know, what do they feel like? They're like, well, geez, I've been trying to like return the book to the library, and I, you know, it makes them feel even worse. So the things that, and it's all objective. So maybe it's just, we'll use the podcast as kind of a kick in the pants to try to get something going. We'll check in every week and see how it goes. I still think that the term kill the rabbit is still relevant, because I feel that's something that we both struggle with. It's just slowly changing from the goals of a specific project to more... The project is still at the heart of it, right? Mm-hmm. The book and the realm are still in the heart of it.
Yep.
But just all the things that happen around it, I think, are probably more interesting for people to kind of... Because I think it's... These are the things before... When Facebook began and when it released, this is all the time that happened in between. So those are the things that people really want to hear about, not like, guess what, I made $1 billion. Well, how'd you do it? Well, it was really easy. Because in hindsight, everything is split second.
Right.
It's not, well, this podcast went on for, geez, I don't know, how long have we been doing this? A year? Maybe a year.
Really?
Right? We have a lot of episodes.
Yeah, I know.
So, you know, maybe it's just that. Maybe instead, like I said, maybe we change the definition of success and failure. Because I think in both of our minds, they're very wrong.
Yeah.
So, we'll keep going.
Yes.
And then we'll check in next week and see how things are going. I'm going to really try to hanker down on the realm and get more of that code ported over, and then see where it goes.
Sounds good.
All right.